This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tens of thousands more layoffs today from, among others, Boeing, Starbucks, and Cessna. More dismal news on home sales and unemployment. Another dizzying drop, 200 points on Wall Street. Yes, the House passed the stimulus bill last night, but it still needs to go to the Senate, and even its most ardent supporters don't believe recovery will follow swiftly. President Obama continues to warn that things will get worse before they get better. We know some of the things we're all doing to adapt. More time in the library, more time with family, looking hard for work, making our own soap, and planting vegetable gardens. But what don't we know about your lives in these new times? We are resourceful and resilient people. What are you doing to adapt? Tracy Sanders emailed to tell us that she and her husband turned a long year of unemployment into a new board game called Job Search, a game of frustration. In Ithaca, New York, Bruce Stoff wrote to report that that city is staging a winter recess teachers festival where more than 100 small businesses join in a townwide promotion to draw 4,000 teachers and families from 10 states with an economic impact of $250,000. So what are you doing to adapt? What's new? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. Just go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation. And we'll begin with Joseph, and Joseph's on the line from Pell City in Alabama.
Hello, Robert. How are you?
It's Neil, but go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, Neil. Turned off the radio and lost my train of thought. Neil, I own a chain of bail bonding companies. And there's a direct correlation between unemployment and theft, as well as other things such as domestic violence and alcohol abuse. We're
so
doing fairly well.
Your business it goes up in hard times.
Sadly enough, ours is inversely proportionate to what's happening to the good of society.
Are you hiring?
Actually, we are. We just hired two people. We're expanding into three other counties, and we're doing okay. One other comment, I own Fifth Estate Publishing. We do some arcane work, translations of ancient text, and we have seen that go up also as people stay home.
Translations of what kinds of ancient texts?
We've got the best-selling translation, I believe, at this point in the Lost Book of Enoch. Oddly enough, my degree is in theology. I just hunt down bad folks for a hobby.
So by day, you're translating lost books of the Bible, by night, rather, and by day, you're tracking down fugitives.
Yes, it's actually the other way around, but yes, that's exactly right. It's sad but true.
It doesn't bother you at all that you're profiting by others' misery? And I'm not sure what we should read into the fact that Joseph's cell phone went out just at that moment. We thank him very much for his call. Let's see if we can go now to Lynn. Lynn with us from Phoenix.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi. I let you know what I'm doing. My business has fallen down, but I figured one thing I would do with some of my free time is I'm volunteering for a hospice of the Valley here.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm a massage therapist.
And so when you don't have regular customers, paying customers, you go to a hospice?
Yeah, I'm graduating this Saturday. I'm going to be working with people that are, you know, they're ending their life. Their life is ending. And so I figured I'd do some volunteer work.
And make them feel more comfortable.
Yeah, and kind of help me out. You know, it kind of helps me feel better. And then the other thing I'm doing for my business is I decided to get together with some other friends of mine that, you know, aren't doing as good in their healing businesses and all that, and we're going to have wellness parties at people's houses. We're bringing together massage therapists, hairstylists, just different things, and so, going to people's houses and trying to get some business going.
So one-stop shopping, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just like you got to get creative with your ideas now.
I like the idea of going to the hospice because, as you point out, it's going to make you feel better as much as it's going to make them feel better.
Yeah, right. Just get me away. You know, we need to get away from ourselves a little bit, you know. I know that we have to think about ourselves, but it kind of helps to get away from that a little bit, too.
Thanks, Lynn, very much, and good luck to you.
a lot.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to, this is Rich, and Rich is with us. Rich, where are you?
I'm in Live Oak, California, a little town near Sacramento.
Uh-huh. And what are you doing?
Well, we are losing our house due to foreclosure because of the way business and gas prices were last year. And we're moving our family into a motorhome to make ends meet that way and keep our business going on the road.
And what's your business?
I'm an airbrush artist. We do lots of body painting, temporary tattoos, and T-shirts at festivals and parties.
So you need to be mobile anyway.
Well, yeah, it helps to be mobile in this sort of work, and so we decided to go ahead and go all the way mobile.
And how many of your family members are going to be living in that motorhome?
Well, it'll be my wife and I and our two children, ages 6 and 4. I'm sorry, 7. She just turned 7.
Well, I'd wish her a happy birthday from us, too.
Thank you.
And that's tight quarters, and 7-year-olds can be delightful, so can 4-year-olds. There are moments when they are less than delightful.
You know, it may be a little tight, but we are also lucky. My grandmother actually has some property with hookups for the motorhome and room to run, and she recently lost her sister. So we're going to move in there and help her out, and she'll be helping us out. And together as a family, we'll figure out a way to make this work.
And how long do you think you might have to continue doing this?
Well, we're planning on at least 6 to 8 months until we can get our credit back up and get a little bit of cash together and then perhaps find a place to rent.
Keep a diary. I think you'd be interested to keep a diary so someday you can look back and have a better memory of what you and your family did.
You know, that's a great idea. I'm actually hoping to do some podcasting, too. I've been listening to some of the other programs on NPR, and I think we might record some of it on audio and submit. We'll see.
All right. Having some experience with audio, the only danger with that is you got to go back and edit it.
This is true.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And drive carefully.
I will. Bye-bye. Right.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to John. And John with us from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, hi, Neil.
Hi, John. Go ahead, please.
Well, I work for a company that sells automated industrial equipment, and I do the installation and that sort of stuff, and I find that I'm busier than ever now because the people that we sell to, their staff that they would normally have repairing the machinery, as these people retire, quit, or get laid off or whatever, instead of rehiring for that position, they're calling me in to do the work.
They're calling you in to install machinery to do the work.
To repair the equipment that they bought from us and stuff like that.
So, oh, I see. So so instead of having in-house mechanics come and repair the equipment, they're bringing you in from outside.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of that. I'm very busy.
And so this is, again, because of, other people's situations. I assume they'd prefer to have somebody in-house. They don't have to wait for the contractor to come in from the outside. Nevertheless, because of those situations, you're benefiting.
Yeah, I am. Well, they see a savings. You know, they don't have to pay insurance for me and things like that. And if when they don't need me, they don't have to. You know, doesn't make their unemployment insurance go up. But it's you know, they apparently realize the savings there somewhere.
And in a way, you almost hate to look at it this way, but it's a little more efficient, maybe.
It can be. It's not very efficient when a production line is down because that machine isn't running and I'm on my way there or can't get there that day.
Well, John, where are you on your way to now?
Well, right now I actually just got done repairing some equipment and I'm headed back to my home office to get my paperwork caught up.
All right, John, drive carefully.
All right, thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. Let's go now to Curtis. Curtis with us from Chesapeake, Virginia.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Good. What I'm doing to compensate in these hard times is I have lowered my prices.
And what do you do?
I'm a woodworker.
And what kind of woodworking? Carpentry, that sort of thing?
Carpentry, but I also do all kinds of custom cabinetry and furniture.
That can be pretty expensive.
It can be. And you know, I'm not the only one doing it either. There's in my trade, I would say, even in my area that's doing pretty well, I'd say most of the woodworkers are lowering their prices.
And that is in response to lower demand?
No, not so much from lower demand, just that people are shopping a little harder and have less money to spend. And it's if you want to get the job, you have to bid it at a lower price.
I see.
In order to compensate for the, you know, others' lower income.
And because of all of that, so in a way, you're helping the cost of living go down a little bit.
Well, let's hope so.
Uh-huh. And what about your cost of living?
My cost of living is not really going down.
No, it's not. So how are you making it when you're actually charging less for your time?
Well, it's getting more and more difficult, and I think that's something that isn't really being addressed. There's a lot of talk about people losing their jobs, but there isn't a lot of conversation going on about people actually working for less money, which is also hurting families.
And do you a lot of people who get to work with their hands, like woodworkers, really love what they do?
I do.
And that's a compensation too.
It is. If I didn't love what I was doing, I'd probably be looking into changing my situation. Yeah.
Yeah. I always say if I didn't love radio, you know, insurance is a pretty good business. Well, I don't even know if it is, but that's what I always say.
Well, I sure wouldn't get into real estate right now.
No, it might not be the best time to do that.
No.
Are you working mostly in rehabbing people's homes, helping them, you know, put in a new kitchen, that sort of thing, or working on new homes?
I do some of both, and I also work in the marine industry. Right now I'm remodeling a 1970s yacht.
That must be pretty cool.
It is. It's really cool. You know, a whole new galley, a whole new salon. And, you know, there are still people around with money. And in this situation, I've been able to bid the job rather competitively, I would say.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Curtis.
Thanks, Neil.
We're resilient people. We're resourceful. How are you responding to hard times? Give us a call. 800-989-8255. Send us an email. talk@npr.org. We report on your lives all the time. Well, we want you to report on your lives yourselves. Tell us what we don't know about what you're doing. I'm Neil Conan. Stay with us. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Every state in the union saw a jump in unemployment last month. In hard times, many people find creative ways to adapt. And some people find that, well, times can be difficult. This from Rose in Michigan. The trend I am noticing, she emailed, and experiencing with this recession is the separation of families. Families cannot sell their homes and cannot find jobs where they own a home. In our family, this means that Dad was working in the D.C. area with Mom and the three kids at home in Michigan. We also know a number of other families with the same situation. So how are you adapting to difficult economic times? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Send us an email, talk@npr.org. And let's see if we can go to Susie. Susie's with us from St. Louis.
Hi.
Hi, Susie.
I was a college professor, and now I'm finding that my husband had to foreclose on about, 10 properties initially. People that didn't pay him anything tore buildings apart who were supposed to be rehabbing them. And so we had to take back these destroyed properties. So what we're doing is employing minority businessmen and women to do some of this work. Most of it's in what you would maybe call marginalized communities. In some cases, it's the house that will be standing on the block.
Right.
And but it's worked out really well because the communities have sort of rallied around us and gotten interested in what we're doing and gotten their friends that are interested in the neighborhood to kind of support, watch out for us. At one point, we were being broken into in one place multiple times, and we had a man from across the street, quite an interesting character, say he would watch for us, and he did indeed, and call the police if he saw any activity. And now we're not having break-ins anymore. And it's really wonderful because we can feel that the community is happy that good things are being done there.
And so a story that starts out with, you might be a little discouraged about human nature, in the end, or at least now, is turning out to be, a little sunnier.
Well, and it's kind of a win-win situation because we're employing people that were losing their jobs, and we ourselves were losing our savings, our retirement money.
Yeah.
And we're beginning to recoup our investment. their neighborhoods are looking better, and people are being employed.
So win-win. You said you were a university professor. What did you teach, and did you lose your job?
I didn't lose my job. I had a reason to have to leave.
Uh-huh.
It was a health reason. But, no, it really has been wonderful.
Well, Susie, congratulations and good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go now to this is Zach. Zach with us from Kalamazoo, also in Michigan.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Well, first, I'd love to say I love your show.
Thank you.
I had been working in the environmental field in government and got laid off about a year ago.
That's supposed to be the growth sector of the industry.
I know, but that money's not coming quick enough from Barack yet.
Okay.
And I just got a call today that I received a job with the unemployment agency here in Michigan. So the irony could just kill you.
So they found you a job, or are you going to be working at the unemployment agency?
I will be working at the unemployment agency answering phones.
Well, of course, any job is better than no job. But nevertheless, Zach, that you're right. That's pretty rich.
Yes, yes. But I'd love to thank you for letting us voice voice our opinions in these economic times.
One thing I want to ask, if that money and the stimulus package to do, among other things, develop a green power, if that does come through and they start hiring again, I assume you'll be happy to leave the unemployment office?
Well, I hope they're not listening, but yes, Neil.
All right.
I would like to go back.
And in the meantime, you get to help other people in the situations that you were in as of this morning.
Yeah, I know where they're coming from.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Neil.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to this is Chuck. Chuck with us from Ashland, Massachusetts.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
I'm a remodeler and remodeling contractor, have been for 25 years. I had my entire winter cancel out two big projects in a 48-hour period.
Oh, my gosh.
It's turned out to be a mixed blessing, actually a real blessing overall. Yeah, I've got this financial squeeze that's intense, but my mother, who's 93, had been declining a bit 3 weeks ago. She entered hospice care, and suddenly I have the time to be with her and help with her care. And the other surprise that's dovetailed with that, my daughter-in-law gave birth this weekend a bit prematurely to my first grandchild, which is very exciting, and I've been able to be there and back and forth doing many things. The previous month I've been finishing up their house in anticipation of this baby coming next month. And as we speak, I'm on the way back from the hospital to their house with the new baby.
Oh, well, congratulations.
And this couldn't have happened had I been in my usual busy working conditions. So I'm feeling blessed, even though I'm feeling squeezed terribly.
Yeah, I can understand that. But this time is utterly precious.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
It's like that commercial, priceless.
Yes.
Chuck, congratulations, and we wish your mother well.
Bye-bye.
Here's an email we have. This from Charisse in Portland, Oregon. 5 years ago, we purchased a 40-acre parcel of rural land, planning eventually to sell it at a profit to a developer. Now, with the current economy and uncertainty about the future, we're seriously considering moving onto the property with some friends and living cooperatively, growing our own organic produce, fruits, and nuts, perhaps buying a milk cow to share, sharing childcare. Right now, we live close to the city center, so this would be quite a change for us. Good luck with that. It's sometimes not as easy as it sounds. Let's go with Richard. Richard with us from Ashland, Oregon.
Hello, Neil.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, I recently moved from San Francisco Bay Area and sold a house and came up here where property is quite a lot less expensive and purchased a house and paid cash for it. So
property is quite a lot.
Pardon me?
Property is quite a lot less expensive than San Francisco everywhere, I think.
Yeah, well, everybody seems to have taken a bite in property. It's about 25% pretty much straight across the board that they've lost in property down in the Bay Area. But I had a company that I moved up here, and it's basically we do art reproduction. We print murals for office spaces, restaurants, things like that. And we've shown right straight across the board about 50% decline in profits.
Wow.
So what I'm working with now is groups that are in barter agencies that we barter service for service.
And how do you negotiate that?
It's negotiated by a barter currency, and the currency is valued at the dollar. and basically it goes into a barter currency bank, and that barter currency bank holds the money for you. You go through their website, you search out what you need. Could be restaurant, hotel, could be car rental, could be a vacation property, and you just basically spend your dollars as you're spending regular.
Let me clarify this. You're issuing scrip, pieces of paper that say this is worth $5?
No, it could be scrip. It can work either way, scrip or basically a barter bank account. You go online, you check the, you make your deposits through your own barter account that you have, and you sell your services, and when your service is sold, that amount is deposited into your account before you provide the service. And then when you purchase a service, you basically do the same thing. You can do it online or just basically through the telephone and give your barter account number.
And how many people are involved in this?
Across the nation, probably 150,000.
But it's helpful if they're in your area, right?
Absolutely. If they're not in your area, that's where it becomes where you're going to, any goods can be shipped, of course. Like, for instance, if we print a mural, we can put it into a tube and send it in panels, and then that can be hung on site wherever we send it to.
And have you got FedEx in on this deal?
FedEx, UPS, DHL?
Do they accept the barter services?
No. No, unfortunately not. I'd love to get them included in on that.
Well, you might want to give them a phone call.
I will do.
All right, Richard, thanks very much. Good
You're
luck
welcome.
To you. Bye-bye. Let's go to Gary. Gary with us from Berkeley, California.
Hey, Neil. Isn't it an exciting time we're living in?
Yeah, isn't that a Chinese curse?
It's wonderful. Neil, I think your former caller made a great point that I think the future of this country, we have to think about not making so much money, but we have an excess of time and an excess of skills, and we've got a garden and farm and teach each other and play music and dance, and we've got the opportunity to do all that now.
And what are you doing?
I'm great. I'm a horseshoer and a handyman and an organic farmer, and I've got the cell phone in my hand. I'm out in front tending to my garden as we speak.
You don't think of, necessarily of people who shoe horses for a living having cell phones.
Hey, it's the future. It's going to be great. We're all going to have cell phones, and we're all going to be able to do a lot more with the time that we have.
And is the horseshoeing business still going strong?
The horseshoeing business is okay, but it's a combination of everything which gives me the ability to survive, and I think we're all going to have to think a little bit outside the box and do a number of things and just enjoy our time and try and enjoy everything we do a little bit more and not worry about the bottom line dollar, but cook for each other and dance with each other. It'll be great.
Gary, you revive our spirits. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Neil.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to Tony. Tony with us from Cleveland.
Hello, Neil. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks.
Okay, my comment is I just graduated from college a year ago, and I'm a drug and alcohol counselor. Now, you talking about profiting, well, I got a job because of other people's misery. And my thing is this, is that, people are coming here now because of the economy, and that's the number one thing that I hear when people come into treatment, the stress of all of this, and people starting to drink and use drugs more to kind of camouflage and mask all the pain. And it's a hurtful thing to me because you hate to see people like this, but I got a job, and in a way sometimes I feel real guilty about it, And my thing is to try to help people and to get people to help themselves and to refer them to people that can help them. But it's hard now, Neil, I hear.
Yeah, I can hear you talking about a little bit of survivor guilt where you've got a job and they don't. Nevertheless, your job helping them, that's stressful enough and alone.
Yeah, it is. And it's very stressful because, it was time when I didn't bring stuff home, and now I bring it home because, the fact that substance abuse, as we know, it affects everyone around us, our family. But, with the economy going on, people worry about how they're going to pay house notes and car notes and bills. And, and America, all of a sudden, we're a society of excess at times. And now, people are just saying, how am I going to make it? How am I going to send my daughter to private school, my kids? And how am I going to buy groceries? And this is putting a lot of stress on people, man. That's what I noticed. Like I say, this is the chief complaint that I hear now. Besides what I usually hear now is the economy and how people losing jobs and they're turning to drugs and alcohol to try to mask and hide all this. It's a hurting thing, and I just hope things get better for everybody, And I want to say to everybody out there, if you do have a problem with any substance, that's not the way to handle this, and try to reach down to yourself and you know, rely on family and faith and try to make it through, man.
Absolutely. And sometimes, particularly with drugs, which aren't cheap, I wonder how they can afford that and what they must be doing to get the money.
Exactly. That's another issue. And I heard the bail bonds, the bounty hunter call earlier, the bail bonds.
Right.
They go to committing crimes, petty crimes, too. That's another issue within itself.
Okay.
You know, the behavior that, you know, the substances bring, you know. And it's a sad thing nowadays.
Tony, good luck to
yeah.
you. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Neil.
Bye-bye. We're talking about resilient people in extraordinary circumstances and what they're doing to get by in the new economy. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Martha. Martha with us from Sutton's Bay in Michigan.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, what I'm doing to survive a sole practice in a small town is I cut my rates in half, and I'm spending money on radio advertising.
Oh, well, we encourage that, but what kind of practice do you have?
It's a general practice, estate planning, divorces.
Legal practice.
A lot of collection work. Yes, I'm a lawyer.
Uh-huh. And cut the rates in half. This is where did you learn that in law school?
Nowhere in law school. It's pure survival. Business is very slow all over Michigan, as you know, but it's tough for people to pay their bills, and I'm finding that they still need the help. They're just afraid to go out and get it, so maybe they'll come see an attorney if they can, you know, pay half the normal rate.
And you advertise your lower rates on the radio?
Yeah, we're about to. We're just signing up for it this week.
Are you hiring any announcers?
No, it's on an AM station. I listen to NPR all the time, but I don't know that all of my customers do. So,
all right, Martha, good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Let's see if we can go now to Bill. Bill Wiggles from Logan, Utah.
Hey, Neil. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I'm taking, I guess, a more traditional approach. I'm going back to school.
Going back to school, learn new skills so when things get better, you can get a better job.
Get a job that's more needed all the time, teaching school, history and math.
Ah, so you're studying to become a school teacher.
Right.
Elementary school, yeah. High school, or what?
Secondary, ed, so junior high, high school.
And again, the subject you're interested in?
Math and history.
Math and history.
Dual major.
Dual major. And what's it like going back to school?
It's a lot tougher with four children than it was when I was single. but I've laid carpet for about 15 years, and I've had 3 days of work since Christmas this year, so things are ugly.
Yeah, well, laying carpet, that's mostly in new houses, right?
Yeah, and this time of year, usually you don't have a whole lot of, remodels. It's mostly new construction that carries you through this time of year anyway, so without any new construction, it's not surprising how slow it is.
Well, and 3 days of work, I assume you're still working when jobs come up.
Oh, yeah. I might have work tomorrow, I think. So anyway.
Well, Bill, good luck to you, and look forward to when you get your certificate.
Hey, so do I, next spring.
All right,
so,
Bill.
Thanks.
Thanks very much for the call. Here's an email we have from Kathy in Boone, North Carolina. Life takes some strange turns. I'm a former English teacher who, with roughly 20 years clerical secretarial experience plus a PhD from Virginia Tech, and now find myself as a crew member at the local Wendy's. At age 57, I found out I couldn't even get a job interview. I'm getting through this by telling myself that I'm not working at Wendy's per se. I am getting paid to work out 5 days a week. I've lost 40 pounds since I've been there and can now schlep a 36-pound box of French fries with little trouble. You do what you have to do. And that's the story we're hearing from an awful lot of people. Thank you so much to all of you who called and sent us email. We're sorry we couldn't get to all of your letters. We'll try this again soon. This is Talk of the Nation. Coming up, Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich decides that he'll make an appearance at his impeachment trial after all.
I'm here to give every possible explanation to every one of these allegations.
We'll hear exactly what that meant in a moment. And those of you in Illinois, did Governor Blagojevich make his case today? Give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation. Stay with us from NPR News.